And yet and still, all these young folk getting killed. Man, how much more killing can take place? How much more? You know, sometimes I just, you know, as I stand out on the streets, you know, the other night I was walking to my car. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when I leave the church, you know, late at night, if I'm the only one coming out, I look up the street and down the street, see who's coming. Yeah, because you never know where the next bullet is coming from. And that's just not here. That's anywhere. Hey, they're hijacking folks in the mall. And the sad thing to say, you know, the sad thing to say is that it's young people. It's young people. And somebody's mother somewhere is grieving because I know that they've said something to them before. And so yet and still, they return over and over again.
To Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 3. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Called to Suffer, Part 3.
In the heart, it's a heaviness in the spirit. And I would say that now we have some grown-ups in the world that all they did was grow old. They didn't grow up. So, you know, there are some grown-ups in the world who are foolish and who are crazy. And there's no doubt about that. You know, there are some grown-ups in the world. I mean, they got some weird ideas about things, some things that are off the wall. And so, you know, not every grown-up got it together and has the best interest of their children in heart. But I'm going to say for the most part, you know, most parents, most grown-ups want what's best. They want the right thing for their children. And with that being said, I think it's a child that is honoring to the parents that will come and that will say, you know what? You're my parents. And you know, whatever you have laid out, whatever desires that you feel are right. You know why? Because you've been down this road before. You've traveled this road. So you must know a little something, something. You must know a little bit of what you're talking about. And so the unruly child will cause suffering in the life of a mother because of their disobedience and because of their continuous rebellion. There's the unfortunate child. There's the unruly child. And then there's the unwise child. Proverbs chapter 10 in verse 1. Proverbs chapter 10 in verse 1. And the scripture says here, the Proverbs of Solomon, a wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is a heaviness of his mother. Wow. A foolish son is the heaviness of his mother. Now, if you look at your notes once again, you know, there's something I want to share with you that come directly from the notes. In the Bible Knowledge Commentary, this commentator, Sid S. Bazell, commenting on the use of father and mother in this verse, says, this does not mean that a foolish son does not grieve his father. See, some people might say, well, you know, how come the father is made glad when he's wise, but the mother is heavy when he's foolish? All right, well, this is what he's explaining here. As clearly stated in some other verses, nor does it mean that a mother's heart is gladdened by a son's wisdom. The use of father in one line and mother in the other is typical of the proverbial literature. Both parents experience either joy or grief. So what is that saying? That's saying that, well, even though it says that the father enjoys the gladness and the mother endures the heaviness, that you can flip that around. And that, you know, when the son is wise, you can be sure, guess what? The mother is rejoicing too. You know, I know next Saturday, me and my wife going to be rejoicing. Next Saturday, we're going to be rejoicing. When I see my son walk across that stage, graduating from college, a wise son. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not only going to be happy about it, but you can be guaranteed that my wife is going to be happy about it also. And so, once again, these are used interchangeably. So it's not meant to exclude one or the other. However, you'll notice here that it says specifically that the foolish son is a heaviness to the mother. What does this word heavy mean? It refers to a grief or sorrow resulting from affliction. That, man, you know, when a parent sees a child making foolish mistakes, man, it just grieves a mother down in the spirit. You know, I believe sometimes, you know, mothers will look at maybe grown children, and if they've got into some things that they shouldn't have got into because of foolish decisions, they might say to themselves, you know, man, I never thought it would turn out like this. I only had the best in mind for my children. And then when they see children making foolish decisions, they are grieved in their spirit. It hurts them in their spirit. Why does it wound so deeply? Because mothers have great expectations and great desires for their children. And when they see them making foolish mistakes, man, it grieves them in their heart. And this word foolish comes from the Hebrew word kasil. And actually it means a child that causes a mother to go through deep suffering. Deep suffering. Now, there's three things about this kasil or this fool in the book of Proverbs. The first thing we see is that this child is hard-headed. It's hard-headed. Look at Proverbs 17 since we're there. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. And we can begin to see why the mother is grieved in her spirit, why the mother goes through suffering. You know, there's a song, and I'm not sure. I was trying to get the background. Maybe somebody can help me out with the background of this song, but it seemed like it's talking about a mother. I might be wrong. But it says, she faces the hardest times that you can imagine. And many times her eyes held back the tears. You know, and when her youthful world was about to fall in because the weight that was on her slender shoulders. Man, that must be, you know, at night when, you know, a mother just thinks about her children, or maybe even during the day when she has some quiet time to think about her children, and she sees them making foolish decisions. Man, how that must grieve a mother and weigh down in her heart. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. So here you will see a child make the same mistake over and over and over and over again. And guess who's there? Guess who's there? Mom. It's still there. And it must, man, just think that here this mother is watching and saying, look, we can avoid this if you would just listen to me. You know, sometimes I think mothers must think about children as, you know, it's like the guy who was hitting his head against the wall. You know, he just kept hitting his head against the wall. Bam, bam. And somebody asked him, why you keep hitting your head against the wall? And he said, because it feels good when I stop. So, you know, sometimes. You know, sometimes I wonder if that's the way a mother feels, that she sees her child hitting his head against the wall. And she's just saying, look, you don't have to. You don't have to do that. It doesn't have to be that way. It says a fool receives 100 stripes. 100 stripes. That, you know, and it may not come in the form of punishment. It may come in the form of money, getting in debt, losing money. It may come in the form. You know, one thing that I realized, now I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble here. I know I'm getting ready to get in trouble. But let me say this. 9 times out of 10, when a young person's in a relationship, the parent knows whether that relationship is good for them or not. 9 times out of 10. There's still that 1/10 of a chance that they don't. But 9 times out of 10, the parent knows. And yet and still, young people just pass right by that. Pass through those warnings. And the parent is there saying, look, I see this. And you know what? Once again, you know, it's like the lady who was praying that the Lord would bless her with a good son-in-law. You know, Well, why is she praying that? You know, because she wants somebody good for her daughter. Somebody. So, you know, we always want the best for our children. We want them to marry the best. But yet and still, I find that parents can see some things that other people or that kids sometimes that are in the relationship can't see. You know, it's just like Samson, that when Samson was caught up with Delilah, here she had denied, she had betrayed him three times. Three times she was trying to do him in. And his nose was so open that he couldn't see it. You know, he couldn't even see it. And sometimes children are so close to that they can't see some things, and the parents get back, and they're trying to point things out, and they're going to say, look, you don't have to go through this beat down. You don't have to go through this beating. But you know, they press on, and they press ahead because they refuse to listen to the parents because they're hard-headed. Hard-headed. And what happens to a hard head? A hard head gets stripes. And so that's what happens here. We see, now see, I didn't go down the other road now. No, I didn't go down that road. I'm staying away from that today. All right. Not only that, but a foolish child does things over and over again. Look at Proverbs 26 and verse 11. 26 and verse 11. Same word here. Now see, in all these verses, this word kasil is used. This Hebrew word kasil that was used in 10:1. Same word. So it's talking about the same person. It says here in verse 11, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You know, not learning anything. You're doing the same things over and over again. You know, I don't, you know why we can't learn from other people's mistakes. If somebody has made a mistake before, and the road has a bridge that's out, and you know the bridge is out to the road, and somebody's telling you that the bridge is out to the road, then why you keep driving down the road? And that's what it says here. It says that not only do they disregard the fact that the road is out, but they keep driving down and driving off the cliff time after time after time again. And can you imagine the heart of the mother? That when the mother sits back, you know, you know, one thing I'm realizing, and it's sad, and I guess this is happening all over the country, is that, man, there's somebody getting killed just about every day in Pittsburgh. Somebody getting shot. Somebody got shot last night down in Lawrenceville, you know, at a bar. And you know what? It was somebody's son. That was somebody's son. Now, I don't know where the mother is at, but, you know, if it's like any mother, man, there's some mother that's crying this morning. There's some mother that's hurting this morning. And I'm not sure, you know, where and what input that mother had into the life of that young man. But I'm sure somewhere along the way, if she was a mother that was worth her salt, that she was telling him certain places not to go. You know, there was a song a couple years ago. It said, Mama told me not to come. This ain't the way to have fun. Mama told me not to come. And so he got there, and when he got to the place where he was going, his girlfriend passed out on the floor. He saw things that he had never seen before. But see, Mama told him not to come. But he went anyways. And so that's the way that it is. You know, mothers are telling their children, you know, what path to travel, where to go. And yet and still, all these young folk getting killed. Man, how much more killing can take place? How much more? You know, sometimes I just, you know, as I stand out on the streets, you know, the other night I was walking to my car. And, you know, sometimes, you know, when I leave the church, you know, late at night, if I'm the only one coming out, I look up the street and down the street, see who's coming. You know, because you never know where the next bullet is coming from. And that's just not here. That's anywhere. Hey, they're hijacking folks in the mall. And the sad thing to say, you know, the sad thing to say is that it's young people. It's young people. And somebody's mother somewhere is grieving because I know that they've said something to them before. And so yet and still they return over and over again. And the third thing we see about this individual is that this is a child that enjoys evil things. Look at Proverbs 10:23. It says here, Proverbs 10:23, it is like a sport to a fool to do mischief. The word sport here means enjoyment. You know, it means something that you delight in. And here we got our word again, kasil, that word for fool. It is a sport to a fool to do mischief. They love doing evil. They love doing the wrong thing. They delight in doing the wrong thing. And how it must grieve a mother's heart to see them do the wrong thing over and over again. The unfortunate child causes a mother to suffer. The unruly child causes a mother to suffer. The unwise child causes a mother to suffer. And then finally, the unattended child causes a mother to suffer. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. It says here, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. A child left to himself. Very interesting Hebrew word. In two other places, and you can look when you leave here. And I wrote the scriptures down for you. In Job 39:5 and Isaiah 16:2, the same word where it says left to himself, you know how it's used? It's used of animals that are left out in the pasture to graze freely. A child left to himself. A child without discipline in their life. A child without any structure in their life. A child that just has no restraint in their life and it just does whatever they want to do. You can be sure that at some point that mother is going to have some suffering to go through. The undisciplined child. And you know, sad to say that we see a lot of parents taking up for the children when they're wrong. Instead of getting behind the system, instead of at least going to see what's going on, automatically the first thing they jump up, I know my child don't do anything wrong. Your child came from you, right? But yet, the unstructured, undisciplined. I believe that the reason that we're seeing a lot of problems today is because a lot of young people are not getting discipline in their life. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about beatings. I'm not talking about that stuff. All right? Because, you know, once again, I know that's controversial. So I leave that alone right now. We're not dealing with that aspect. But you know, we're dealing with discipline. And I think that a lot of young people have not learned how to discipline themselves. I mean, they have just given when they were young and they got angry and they got mad, they just threw something or they just kicked something. And nobody was there to straighten them out on that. Nobody was there to try to put some guidelines around them. So guess what happens to young people that get mad and throw stuff? I mean, children that get mad and throw stuff and kick stuff. Guess what happens if they don't get disciplined? They become teenagers and they become young adults who now no longer are kicking and throwing, but they're stabbing and shooting. There has to be discipline, restraints. They just can't go freely grazing in the pasture. There has to be some guidelines and some structure to bring them back in. Because if not, they will bring suffering in the life of the mother. But let me wrap this thing up on a positive note. And the positive note is this. Is that, well, I'm going to wrap it up. Psalm 127. Psalm 127. Let me wrap it up right here. It says in verse 3, lo, children are a heritage from the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Now, let me say this, that children in general, I don't think this is speaking to children in general. People have taken this verse and they have used this verse to say, well, you know, whenever you give birth, that's a blessing of the Lord. Well, that's probably true, but that's not what this verse is saying. This verse is not saying that. It's not saying that just because a child is born, that's a blessing from the Lord. What it's saying is, if you go on to read, children that are doing the right things, that's the blessing from the Lord. He said, as arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of one youth. Happy is the man who hath his quiver full of them. Now, look where the blessing comes in. Happy the man who have his quiver full of them, they shall not be ashamed. The parent will not be ashamed. Now, what's the context here? When is a child a blessing? When the parents are not ashamed. When that child has not brought grief into the life of the child, of the parent, that's when the blessing takes place. And then he goes on to say, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. The gate was the place that they took care of business. You know, Lot sat at the gate. They transacted business at the gate. And what he's saying here is that when a parent gets to the place where they can no longer stand for themselves, when the parent gets to the place where they can no longer take care of themselves or even do business, that child who will stand in the gate, stand in their place, stand representing them, then that child is a blessing to the parent. And so instead of us being children who will cause our mothers to suffer, why don't we seek to be a blessing? Why don't we seek to be a blessing to our mothers? The unruly child, the unwise child, why don't you seek to be a blessing? You're being a blessing when you're not bringing grief into the life of your parent. Oh, yeah. Anybody that's been a mother knows that there's heartache associated with raising children. Anybody knows that. But we as children of parents, we can seek to be a blessing to our parents. Why don't we have a group of people, and once again, I'm including myself in this, but why don't we have a group of people that will say, look, instead of me making your life harder, mom, dad, how can I be a blessing to you? Man, some parents might do a Fred Sanford. Oh, Elizabeth, I'm coming home to join you, honey. Man, but wouldn't that be powerful? Just to say, how can I be a blessing to you? That there's enough suffering that's going on in the lives of mothers today. We need a group of people that will try to be a blessing and help. Man, yeah, there's suffering that takes place in life. And motherhood sometimes involves suffering. But we can reduce that by seeking to be a blessing.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Called to Suffer, Part 4. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Called to Suffer, Part 3, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 3. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Called to Suffer, Part 3. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Glaze is the author of 11 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.